The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Welcome to the Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. I'm here with Sean O'Brien.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good.
You got Mookopotamus's hat on?
Already getting in there, man.
Looks great.
Looks really good.
Love it.
Yeah, love it, now man. That I see it on your head, it even looks better.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a fat head, so.
That's not what I meant. It was a really... It's...
No, but I'm saying, like, I think it makes my head look like a regulation size head.
Oh, I didn't say that either.
Well,
regulation. How many of the overlap on an adjustable hat, how many are you on?
That's the problem, man. We're down to two.
Yeah. You're only two are connected?
Two clips connected, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
I thought maybe you had an extender in there.
Oh, man.
It's getting close, man.
On a fitted hat, what size are you?
7 5/8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think they have a particularly big head, really, honestly. It's just
based on the clips, though.
On the snaps,
man. It's not. I'm pushing it pretty tight.
I should mention. I'm also joined by Tim Convey.
Glad to also be here.
Yeah. So this is the Heinz ketchup episode.
Talking ketchup.
And last episode, Sean said something. I'm just gonna say it was pretty dumb. The thing when he thought somebody ran the mile in 3 minutes and 90 seconds, commonly known as 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it was. Whatever it was, it was pretty dumb. I think Tim might have just matched him.
No.
Because Tim looked at me and said, "Hey, man, we need to get some Heinz ketchup for a sample because it's the Heinz ketchup episode."
Yeah.
Do you think Randy has any? I was like,
"Yeah, we have."
What? I mean, it's if you just said Coca-Cola, I've been well. It's behind him. He doesn't see it.
I'm staring.
You're looking right at the Heinz ketchup.
Yeah, this is
for
all
the last 13 episodes.
Yeah,
I think.
Fine. This is all basically like wallpaper. It's in here every single day. So yes, we have a lot of Heinz tomato ketchup. This is our first time doing a dedicated podcast to a on-set product.
No, it's not. We did Pringles.
Yeah. 0-2, buddy.
Yeah. Say something else.
Hey, Randy,
this is great.
Let's take it from the
top.
It's taking the heat off of Sean, for sure.
You got that right, man. It is taking the heat off.
390 doesn't look so bad.
Let's
now,
take
man. It.
Let's take it from the top.
Yeah. When you say top, you mean episode one?
Yeah.
Scratch everything?
Yeah.
It's already out there, man. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, but I love Heinz. I'm excited.
This episode, we are recording it a little bit in advance. This will come out on New Year's Eve. So happy New Year to everybody, all of our viewers and listeners. Thanks for sticking with us.
Happy New Year, man. 25
is over. Yeah. Going into 26.
I'm doing the fun thing they do with the episodes, just to make up a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're on episode 48. All right, nice talking to you guys.
Trust me, both of us were like, okay, let's just follow his logic and we'll laugh at the joke. There was nothing there. There's just nothing there.
Let's take it from the top.
Sean, you, your Aunt Sherry, who's very dear to you, who I've met.
Love Aunt Sherry.
Who we did a gig for at one point, the three of us.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
we never did the gig again because Tim
it was a lot of fun.
Said some really dumb stuff
it was really,
right up front.
It was a fun gig.
Yeah. Tim got us basically
all right.
Fired.
All right. No. I love Aunt Sherry. Aunt Sherry loves me.
Yeah.
We had a great time at
Let
that
me
gig.
Ask you this. Did she retire? Did she get fired over the Tim thing? Did
I mean, they're calling it retirement. I don't
was
know,
like
man.
Five
you know,
years ago, so maybe like 7 years ago, so
it was a while back.
It would, I guess, it would have taken some legislation to force her out. It's just slow moving over
there.
It was fine.
We had a great time.
At the real estate
office. Yeah, I mean, I know she wanted to keep working like another 3 years, and for some reason, she's gone at the end of the
day. Yeah, she's done.
It was a fun gig, though,
quote, retirement.
I put on, yeah, it was, I don't know if it was fun for you, buddy. So
it was a great
Aunt
time.
Sherry retired, and you were telling me off air that they had a retirement party for her.
Yeah.
Like all the real estate people.
And yeah, they had a retirement party with all, you know, former agents, current agents.
And Sherry, you got forced into stand-up comedy duty?
Sort of, yeah, man. I had to. They're like, we're going to do a clean roast of of your Aunt Sherry. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'll just go and just hang out and support, thinking like, this is great. This is all the agent stuff. I have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Did anyone at the company say, call your buddy Tim?
You know, you think they would. They didn't.
Yeah.
I know, okay. Which is really
Dude,
surprising.
You cannot set foot in there.
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Spoke no, my truth.
They're still
Sherry loves
digging out from that.
Yeah. I love Sherry.
Corporate
guy. No, we had a good, it was good.
It wasn't good.
Good time. It was great.
All right,
go ahead.
So, you're there I'm there. And there was some, I used to be a real estate agent at this office, like a long time ago.
For how long?
Like a year and a half.
Really?
Not the best agent, man. I think I sold 3 houses. Paperwork was always wrong. I never got paid. They're like, hey, man, this check, this sheet, you're missing. I don't know. How was this deal done? I remember people would be like, how did they get the house? You don't have. The home inspection. I mean, there was a lot that I screwed up in the real estate.
You got a lot of strengths, man.
Yeah.
And I say that honestly. You do, as a friend and as a human being. But details, I mean, I've bought a couple of properties before.
Yeah.
There's a ton of details that you got to go through. That is not your...
No.
I mean, let me give you an example. Sunday, I called you up and I said, hey, man, I think we're going to do Gatorade for the podcast tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, we're doing a podcast tomorrow? Which,
yeah, I didn't have that.
Yeah, he didn't even he didn't even know we were doing a podcast, which real estate, there's like 500 things you got to check off.
Yeah, it's that times 1,000 for sure.
But you could sell. So I would think like just get you an assistant.
Well, I got along with people.
Decent. I think you'd be great at selling. Just have somebody else do the paperwork.
That was definitely what should have been the move. But
yeah,
it was just too much. It's just part of the deal. If you're a real estate, like that's just half the game is just being knowing, you know, getting along with your clients. But then once this stuff comes in, once the paperwork comes in, yeah, I was a bad case. See, I sold cars. That was easy. That was like 3 things you had to sign. There was nothing going on. But the real estate. You know, if you bought anything, it's a lot going on. And anyways, Bob, I didn't have a right, so whatever. Got out of it. Fast forward, the retirement party, same office. And it got, somebody was like, hey, you know, Sherry's nephew is a comedian. Get him up there. And I'm like, no.
They're like, the paperwork guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he still hasn't been paid in those 2 deals.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why would he even show his face here unless he wants his check?
From the Hamilton account?
Right. So I'm like, no, I don't want to. Don't bring me. Don't do it. And they did. They put me up there.
Day of.
I mean, on the fly.
Oh,
I had
boy.
Nothing prepped. It's a roast. A clean roast. And it's like, I don't know what the. Why
did you call him Nikki? She could not have been more offensive than Tim was at that corporate.
Okay,
event.
Well, I'll answer that question.
Yeah. You should have called Nikki. She's our friend. She lives in St. Louis. She's the best roaster in the world.
100%.
She killed it on the Brady roast.
Now, if you were...
Is she going to offend a few people? Yeah. But then she could have just been like, hey, you want me to bring Tim up here?
That's true. Yeah. You think I'm offensive. Wait till I get Tim up here. He'll burn the room down.
Great. I'd been happy to do it. I'm a big Aunt Sherry fan. And I think I have a way with that audience already. I've established kind of who I am as a comic. And I'm not.
So what happened? Did you eat it?
So here's what happened. I'm going to be like the end. And it's just all, you know, everyone's being fun and nice. And just, they're almost storytelling at this point. And I'm like, the second they said comedian, I'm like, oh no, I'm not. It's like, now you have to be funny. You have to be.
That's generally
how it works.
The expectation.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to. I had no. I didn't plan on going up in this thing. It was not in my head. And I just, I'm like, well, here it goes. Just throw it in the air. So they had a lapel mic. Is that what it's called? The little.
Yeah. So this is official.
So this is
the real deal.
So I go something like, I was like, you know, it's a roast to Sherry. I'm like, I'm not going to roast her. I go, I'm going to roast this office. Mm. And I'm like, you know, guys, way to break the budget, you know, going to Radio Shack with this lapel mic. And they, I mean, it's just 150 people just stared at me.
Oh, like, no, really?
No, man.
That's funny.
I mean, I think they were like, no. They're probably like, this is what we use for meetings. So then I'm like, all right, what do?
You double you knew you were
at
dead.
At that point.
Yeah.
You should have called Tim because he dug a hole for himself at that corporate gig and be like, what do?
Yeah.
When the first thing you say is just silence.
It was shockingly quiet. So I was like, okay.
That's kind of how that audience is.
Yeah, I found.
So then I go, they had decorations up for Christmas.
They had like the little stringy snowflakes.
Sure. Tell me you didn't go, hey, cheap decorations.
No, I didn't say that, but they had, it's this huge conference room and they had like four. And then I said something about like, I was like, is that, I go, you guys have four little snowflakes dangling. And I go, what happened? I was like, did somebody suggest five? And you're like, hey, Bill, take it easy, man. That's like, I went that. I'm telling you, it wasn't horrible.
Did they laugh at that one?
I got them a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh man, see, this is the problem. When this is going to make no sense to people listening, but they're saying when I try and be a comedian, I know this makes no logic, it just doesn't work. So then I'm like, that's it. I'm done. And then I just started telling a few stories about like basically about how Sherry is an insanely strong negotiator. That's where I think part of me I got from her. She's just that person who can just, she's got a very calm demeanor. It's not like me where I'm just all theatrics and yelling. And I basically just said something that was like, you know, I like it. I go, if I die before Sherry, I'd like her to negotiate my funeral costs because my family might owe 20 grand. And if Sherry gets in there and negotiates, they'll probably pay us five.
Yeah.
Not bad. I was coming around. I got a little bit of laugh on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I look at my clock and I'm like, all right, I've been up here 28 minutes. And it was like six. No.
You thought you had been. Okay.
That way. And then I look and I'm like, all right, there's my five for the day. And I got off on a if I die first joke. Sherry will negotiate it. So those are just tricky, though, especially when you know the people. You know, I mean, is it maybe not for you, but is there not something, have you performed in front of like a group of people that you know?
Not when they just say, hey, go up. Ahead of time, I have done the speeches and whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I destroy.
Yeah, give me a little credit. That's not the most.
No, especially since you weren't prepared. I mean, I'm not a great roaster. I had to do a couple of them, and I usually wound up just bagging on myself for the most part. You know,
on the roast stuff.
Yeah, I just made fun of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But
if somebody was like, "Hey, just go up and do a thing," I'd be in big trouble. I'd do what you did. I'd tell story. It'd be yeah, fine. I'm sure you did fine.
Yeah, I just if it was just like just let him go up because he's the nephew. Then I would have been like, oh, this is great. But the second it's like, he's a comedian, their brains are like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And work. This is going to be so funny.
Work people, office people together is the worst audience there could be. Because that is where people, I think, are most self-conscious about what they're going to publicly laugh at and what they're not. Again, you were clean. But those situations are typically pretty tough because people are very concerned about who they are with their work people.
That being said, if any listeners or viewers out there do have a corporate function that they want entertainment at. I do quite a few of those. So please, it's not going to go as bad as these guys are talking about. It sometimes, sometimes can go really well.
It's your money, guys. Spend it however you want to.
That's what you get, man. You hit him out of the gate three times. Yeah. He's going to punch back. What do you expect,
what
man?
What do you expect?
Well, congratulations to Aunt Sherry.
Aunt Sherry, 40 plus years.
Love you, Aunt Sherry.
She's great. It. Really nice lady and kind of a powerhouse at that company.
Yeah, she was like big time over there. So
we if it had not been for Tim, we could have done probably an annual comedy show for those real estate agents.
What it could have been.
I left it all out on the stage that night though, right? There wasn't much left to be said.
No.
After the things I shared. So no. It was a long time ago. We had a good time, huh?
No, guys? I was
Here's Dan Sherry.
There you go.
Cheers. Congratulations. Our brand, as I mentioned this week, is Heinz ketchup. I don't know how we're going to get our hands on any,
I know. Do we have any backups?
I don't know. Pretty excited about this.
How about this?
Yeah.
Labels up, guys.
Okay, oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. My question, I should have done more research. This is a holiday episode, so it might be a disaster. Anyways.
Mailed it in a little bit is what you're
saying. Do they have only squeeze bottles? Because I kind of think that's the case.
No, man.
At the grocery store?
I think you can buy the glass ones at the grocery store.
I don't know, man. I think Greg's on to something.
You don't think you can buy... We acknowledge that the glass ones exist in restaurants. But
yeah.
You're saying you don't think
that
those
are... That is the octagon shape.
Yeah, so yeah. Good. But you're saying you don't think you can just get those in a grocery store?
You probably can. But I just... It certainly seemed like that was most of what was there.
Interesting.
Is a squeeze bottle.
Well, I'm sure... Yeah, that's it's just easier. But doesn't it taste a little bit better in the glass bottle?
We'll get to some of that.
Okay.
We'll get to some of that. Yeah. Back in the day, guys, ketchup... had no tomatoes in it. That was a sort of late addition.
What?
Yeah. Let me give you.
This is true.
What time? What year are we talking about here?
1700s. Well, as far back as 300 BC.
Okay.
They started using fermented pastes made up of fish entrails, meat byproducts, and soybeans. Oh, sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Okay.
The fish sauce called Jeeth Cup or Ko Cheup. By speakers of Southern Min dialect, was easy to store on long ocean voyages. Here's a recipe for early ketchup.
Okay.
Intestine, stomach, and bladder of yellow fish. Add moderate amount of salt. Seal tightly. Incubate in sun 20 days in the summer, 50 days in the spring or fall.
Wow.
That's how you made ketchup. Sounds pretty good, doesn't
it? That's it, man. Pretty simple.
One of the reasons that you didn't find... tomatoes and ketchup until late 1800s, I believe, people thought it was poisonous. They thought tomatoes were poisonous.
Mm.
They thought they were close cousins of nightshade. Mm. You guys know what nightshade is?
It's poisonous.
It's poisonous. The only place I've ever heard of nightshade was Game of Thrones. I think they talked about poisoning somebody with nightshade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was going on is like when wealthy Englishmen ate from lead pewter plates, the acid from the tomato leached the lead into the food, causing lead poisoning.
Mm.
So
it was the dish's fault.
It was the dish's fault and the wealthy Englishman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, James Mees, actually I said late 1800s, it's 1812. He is a Philadelphia scientist created with developing the recipe. He wrote that the choicest ketchup came from love apples, as tomatoes were then called.
Yeah.
A lot of people believed back in the day that tomatoes had some sort of aphrodisiac.
Really?
Yeah.
Property.
Really? Love apples.
Love apples.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of cool. Enter the guy, the featured guy, the central figure in this report, H.J. Hines.
Mm.
Henry John Hines. He grew up in Pittsburgh. Which sure. is, of course he did. That's Hines, man. That's Hines country. As a boy, he worked in his mom's garden, and he started selling horseradish out of his mom's garden at 9 years old. Mm. He was selling to the neighbors. This kid was built for business. Back then, people made their own horseradish, and they did it by grating the plant. And it took a lot of time, and it bruised their knuckles, and it made their eyes water. And he was like, hey, let me do that for you. So it was like one of the earliest convenience foods. He also used clear glass bottles
mm-hmm.
to show the purity of his
product,
which, that happened later with Heinz. People were not using clear glass bottles. He was like the first guy to use
Got
clear
it.
Glass
right.
bottles. Right. So, he did that, and he did well with the horseradish. And then him and his buddy Noble, guy named Noble, last name Noble, they formed a company in 1869. And they sold horseradish, they sold pickles, they sold a few other things. And it ended badly in the panic of 1873. It was a depression of sorts. They went bankrupt, and it was pretty bad. The Pittsburgh newspaper wrote, trio. I think it was him and two guys named Noble,
mm-hmm.
two Noble brothers, trio in a pickle.
Ah, oh, that's good.
Very good. It's not good.
Not good,
I should have used that at the roast the other
day. It's not good.
It broke old Noble's heart.
It did?
Yeah, he couldn't take it. He couldn't take it. He kind of blamed Heinz for things going bad. One of the things they had done is he had bought a bunch of cucumbers. He basically contracted to buy all the cucumbers in Illinois.
Okay.
So he buys these and says, we're going to buy them at this price. Then panic happens. Cucumber prices go down. He owns all these cucumbers at a much higher level and gotten a lot of trouble for that. I believe my grandfather ran into a similar situation, my dad told me, with meat. He was a butcher.
Oh.
And I think it was FDR maybe, like, lowered the price of meat, and he owned a bunch of meat at a higher price, and it really hurt him. So he took it pretty hard. Noble took it even harder. They falsely accused him of moving inventory out of the reach of creditors. So, like, saying, hey, we're bankrupt and we don't have anything. And they were saying, no, you have stuff. You just hid it. So he actually, like, got arrested. And he was a Lutheran German, and he had to file for bankruptcy. And that is something that you didn't do as a Lutheran German. It was, like, shame. Wow. Shame on the family.
It's more of an Irish Catholic move there. That worked for us.
It was rough times, but he fought back. He fought back, and he's like, I'm going to try again. And he went into business with his brother and his cousin. It was called F&J Heinz.
Oh, Heinz fought back. This is Heinz.
Heinz Noble. Fought back. Noble was done. Noble was, he was really, really upset about the whole trio and a pickle thing.
He got upset. Yeah.
Yeah. He was done. So F&J Heinz formed in 1876, him and his brother and his cousin. And he vowed to repay all the debts of Heinz Noble. They went out of business and they filed bankruptcy, so they owed a lot of creditors. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to pay him back, even though probably legally he didn't have to. He was an honorable guy. He did it in 5 years. So they were off to the races. A lot of cool things going on. I would say one of the most cool in 1896, that's when they came up with the slogan, 57 varieties.
Yeah.
It says that on all ketchup bottles, Heinz 57. All the old ketchup bottles, all the glass ones. I don't know if it says it here.
Yep, it does.
57 varieties. There it is. Yep. Yeah, it's just not as prominent. Heinz 57.
Man, that thing's in here all the time, and you haven't seen that?
Yeah.
Staring at it every day, Greg.
There's no way you could see 57.
Right there.
I could not see 57 from here. You can't read 57 from here.
I can.
Can you?
Yeah, that's how I answered your question when you were looking for it.
You got really good
vision. I do have really good eyesight.
You have very good eyesight.
Same.
Yeah.
You do too, Sean?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I could win money if we could gamble on it.
You could win money?
I could read everything under the Coke, like the smallest letter in the Coke bottles from here.
What does it say under original taste? What's it say down there? That is a classic Sean O'Brien right there.
I got it.
Without a doubt, he knows it.
I got it. It's definitely and refreshing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I can see that. I want one for two.
It's
delicious. That's still pretty tough.
It's delicious, Sean. Delicious and refreshing.
And refreshing. But we're not talking about Coca-Cola. We're talking about ketchup right now. Yeah. Where was it? Oh, do you know how he got the 57 varieties thing, Tim?
I used to know this, and now I can't remember.
Sean, do you know?
Yeah. It's made up.
Completely made up.
Really? Completely made up.
Yeah, he was walking by. I think he was on a train, or he was walking by a shoe store. And it said 21 styles of shoes. And he was like, that sounds pretty cool, man. I'm going to do that with my ketchup.
No kidding.
57 varieties. Why did he pick 57? Anybody know?
It wasn't his wife's lucky number his seven.
Yeah, either that or other reverse. Way around. Yeah, one of them, their lucky number was five. The other one was seven. So he picked 57. And that's why there's 57 varieties. At the time when he said 57 varieties, there were 60 varieties.
Correct.
Of ketchup.
Really?
So it's all, yeah. It was all.
Basically, he just liked the way the 57 just rolled off the tongue. I've heard that. Or
this guy's a marketer, man. This guy is a marketer.
57, what a good number.
It sounds great, but we've known it our whole lives. So it's like, you know what I mean? Did it sound good in the first place? Or are we just like, Heinz 57.
In 1893, I'm jumping around dates a little bit here. This guy was a marketer. He was just the consummate marketer. They were at the this big fair, the Columbian Exposition in Chicago. And all they gave him was like a second floor exhibit in the agricultural building. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, nobody's gonna come. So fairgoers didn't want to walk upstairs to go to see the ketchup thing.
Yeah.
So he hired a bunch of people to go around and give out these coupons and said, hey, if you come to the Heinz booth, we'll give you a little gift. Mm-hmm. And he had these pickle pins, just pickles that said Heinz on them. And he gave out like a ton of them.
Yeah.
So we got to get some of those.
I'd wear one. Yeah.
I'm saying we got to get some consumers.
Oh, pins?
Pins or great something idea. Like that. Yeah. I think we need to do that because nobody.
You guys pickle fans?
Yeah. Yeah, I like a pickle. I don't go crazy over them, but I like a pickle. I love them.
I can't get enough.
Do you have a lot of them?
Do I? I mean, there's some at home in my refrigerator right now.
What brand?
The ones at home, I want to say are
Clausen.
Clausen's pretty good.
I might have Heinz at home. There was this company based out of, they were in Brooklyn and Detroit called McClure Pickles, and I used to get those all the time when I lived in Brooklyn,
yeah.
And that was my favorite, the big dill spears.
Yeah.
But love pickles. I can say this because it's a gift I got from my brother, Curran. He loves pickles, and he loves Nicolas Cage. I got him an ornament. It is Pickles Cage. It is Nicolas Cage,
I love
but he's
it.
Made out of pickle. It is a tree ornament. It is the Christmas gift I'm most excited to gift.
That's fantastic, yeah. Man.
Pickles Cage.
It. Is it like what era Nicolas Cage?
Fairly modern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he looks young. I mean, he's, you know, like, but anyone
movies.
In pickle form is going to look a little bit old.
Man, you are right about that.
Huh?
It's in the name.
It's hard to have someone take on pickle form and look young.
Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Yeah, that. Yeah, when you say somebody looks pickle,
is that Peggy Sue Got Married era? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Peggy Sue Got Married. That's right. He was in that.
He was.
What was some of his other early
ones? Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona.
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Honeymoon in Vegas. Yeah, not quite as young, but yeah.
Yeah.
The iconic glass bottle that we're talking about that we don't even know exists in grocery stores, I think it probably does, definitely exists in restaurants, right?
Yes.
That was introduced in 1889 and became sort of a hallmark of Heinz ketchup. He was obsessed with traveling around the country to promote his products. He'd meet guys on trains and be like, hey, you got to try some of this ketchup. He developed like some sort of a cardboard spoon that he used. To sample his ketchup. Kind of cool. This is interesting to me. Back in the day, ketchup was fermented, okay? Which meant that every now and then the fermentation things would like, it would blow up. It would explode.
Sure.
Yeah, the ketchup would explode. 1895, New York Sun reported a bottle of catsup, they were calling it catsup back then, exploded on the dinner table of a family at Michigan City, Indiana recently, and the force knocked all the dishes off the table.
Wait, so on the dinner table? Ooh. So we're not even saying during the fermenting process.
No.
It would just be sitting here.
It'd be like right now. Yeah. Which would, if that would happen right now, this would be
awesome.
Wind up being our best podcast.
For sure.
Yeah.
It'd be a viral clip for sure.
But it's not going to happen because Heinz figured it out. So what they did is they all started adding preservatives.
Yeah.
Okay. To stop the... Explosion. Stuff from blowing up, I think, basically to say no more fermentation. I think preservatives took the place of fermentation or neutralized it.
Mm.
Should have got into the science of this a little bit more. But once they start talking about science stuff, I'm like, nah. But yeah, they...
Did it change the flavor profile?
It's a good question. I think so. And then they started coming out with some data that says... What?
Nothing. Sorry. Flavor profile. I like your use of that. I thought it was great.
I thought it was good, man. Yeah. I didn't think it was excessive.
No, not at all. It's great. Sorry, go ahead. Buddy. Sorry to interrupt, guys.
The Department of Agriculture in 1883 started getting obsessed with preservatives. There was this guy named Wiley who worked for the Department of Agriculture, and he went on like a all-out war against preservatives. He came up with this group called the Poison Squad. I think it's pretty cool. Like a bunch of young guys that worked at the Department of Agriculture that I'm sure he forced them to do that, but they all ate preservatives, like laden stuff where they extra preserves and stuff. He forced them, like, I don't know if he forced them, but they were like this team of young guys and they ate it and they all got like violently sick.
No way. Yeah.
And this was just to sort of like experiment on what preservatives do to you. Yeah.
Some guy has to go home to his wife and she's like, I mean, you joined the poison squad.
Yeah, yeah, it was part of the poison squad.
Growing up.
So all this stuff came out about like preservatives are bad. Remember, preservatives are now in ketchup mm-hmm. because of the explosive stuff. And Heinz got interested in this. And Heinz was like, man, we got to figure out a way to get rid of the preservatives. And everybody sort of in the food business was like, no, we don't. We don't want stuff blowing up. And I think, you know, it's maybe cheaper and more efficient mm-hmm. way to do it. So Heinz sort of was like, no, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. And he found a way out to do it. The preservative, by the way, at the time was benzoate, was the sure. preservative that was prominent in ketchup. So he figures out that it basically is they cook it a lot longer. They add a lot more salt. They add a lot more vinegar to the ketchup. And it tastes a lot better. There's no preservatives in it and it's not going to explode. But it takes a lot longer to make. And I think it's more expensive to make. And he started charging like two or three times as much as the other ketchups. And he started leveraging it in his advertising. Like, hey, this stuff is
not going to explode.
It's not explode, but it tastes better. It's better for you. You're yeah. not going to be, you're not going to die like the poison squad.
Right.
You're not going to get sick like the poison squad.
You think after the seventh guy got sick, they'd be like, all right, we see a pattern.
We've got enough data. I think it did sort of wind up.
Is that what?
Okay. Yeah. I think they did sort of say, hey, maybe
200 guys, maybe all over the place.
I got to join a new squad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, can I just join the racquetball squad? Yeah. Is you guys? so yeah, it was kind of crazy, man. All that stuff. He was a big deal again. With we've kind of hit on this theme a couple of times. I think we got into it with I can't remember. Oh, White Castle. Mm-hmm. This was like there was all kinds of bad stuff going on in food during that time. People would use sawdust and as a filler for their product for like ketchup and stuff.
Man, what the heck is that all about?
Yeah, yeah. So,
Don't get me wrong, I love sawdust.
It's not bad a little salt and pepper on it.
Better on bacon,
but yeah. You can't be using it as filler.
Nah, you can't. You can't do that. So he was like, man, he made his plants like immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
The workers got free manicures because they wanted their fingernails really clean.
That's
awesome. And they got like clean pressed uniforms. They all, you know, like they clean the uniforms for them.
Bad news, you're on the poison squad.
Yeah.
Good news is your fingernails are gonna look great.
Yeah. Clean hands. Yeah. Anytime you want.
Here are the benefits. Here's
pros
the
and cons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're. That's right, man. He did all this stuff. He also like you could see into the plant. I think that was with somebody else too. Was it Hydrox maybe, or was it Oreo?
No, I think that was White Castle.
Oh no,
was it Oreo?
I think it was Oreo. I think it was Oreo.
Yeah.
One of them. You could see into the plant, but you could see what was going on in there, and you could see what was going on in the ketchup because the bottle was clear.
Clear.
Yeah. Yeah. And this guy was just a genius marketer, too. I'm all over the place on this report, guys. I apologize.
Talk about the turn from catsup to ketchup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That actually was totally Heinz.
Just made. So the product was referred to as.
It was catsup.
Not only spelled that way, but called catsup.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, I'm doing my own thing. We're calling it ketchup.
Yeah,
just made it up.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and also French at the time, a couple years later, started calling it moustard.
Is that true?
No.
Moustard. I liked it. Yeah, that one didn't catch on.
No, it didn't. It didn't work out. No, it's just ketchup, man. He's just like, I think we're going to call it ketchup.
That's awesome.
Instead of ketchup. And it was Heinz. It was all marketing.
Love it.
This guy.
And now that's what we call it.
That's what we call it.
Domination.
And it's also like... These guys kill it. I guess Hunt's is another ketchup. Maybe.
Hunt's is number two. Hunt's is not bad at all.
But it's that market share. If you look at the shelf, you can tell they're not a big deal.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, I bet your private label is probably bigger than Hunt's.
Yeah, I don't know. I think. You might be right.
Kind of worries me. You ever go to a restaurant, they have the private label or knockoff ketchup. That's a red flag.
Yeah, if it's
not, it's rare.
If
but
it's Hunt's,
where are you going?
I don't know, man. I mean, if you've never been to a restaurant, you've never noticed that they have not used Heinz.
If really? It's Hunt's, sometimes I'm like, all right, I respect that they're stepping out.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Although, I don't care for RC.
Cola, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I used to, as a kid, I think I liked it. I don't know if they changed it or if I was just so happy to have anything with sugar in it. But when they have RC the gun, I'm like, this is, by the way, soda on the gun's terrible. I don't drink that much soda. So when I drink soda, I'm like, no way.
Yep,
I'm with you, man.
Not on the gun, man.
Yep.
I mean, maybe at McDonald's because it's...
At a fountain, it's different for some reason.
But I don't like a fountain at the convenience store either. I like the McDonald's fountain, but those things are like...
They juice them up.
Yeah, they extra sugar and they clean them all the time.
Well, that's what makes McDonald's so fun, right?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, right. They use their own McDonald's ratio. Yeah, they basically just use a ton, like double the recipe of sugar.
Yeah.
Of the...
Is it double?
The syrup.
It's high,
you can
man.
Look it up. It's significant. And those, they taste so good.
Randy's weighing in for the first time.
He's here, guys. Don't panic. Don't give it up. Panic. Randy. Give it up for Randy.
Don't panic. I don't know exactly, but there was a process. I was around somebody that was researching it about a year ago, and they have like their whole filtration system, how they cool the lines from where the boxes and all the syrup and carbonation is stored all the way up to where they dispense it in the front. It's like a whole their unique process of dispensing the soda at McDonald's.
Great.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Thank you to Randy. And we gave Nate the day off today. So that's all.
Yeah.
He had a lot going on.
A lot going on.
Yeah. We were like, dude, Tate, it's, you know, New Year's Eve, the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, guys had been on every television show available.
Right.
Yeah. I wish they had Hollywood stars. He'd be on it.
For sure. And what's disappointing to me is it's not a lot of live interviews. It's sort of the you shoot someone, they put up. We know that he's mentioning the consumers in all of these interviews, but they're adding
them
every time they cut it out.
Yeah, which is crazy. And I couldn't believe, because the Fallon interview was such a good interview.
Yep.
It's the editor, whoever's editing Fallon, is seamless, because you would have thought that he didn't mention the consumers.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's remarkable what they can do. And it's unfortunate for us, but we get it, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. There's lots of stuff at play.
I'd be embarrassed if he was doing that on Fallon. But yeah.
Agreed.
But
agreed.
Yeah, but whoever's doing the editing.
Yep.
I also, also several things. Hoda.
Yeah.
I think they have the same editor because it's NBC.
Is that right? That could be. Yeah. That totally could be.
That guy, they probably called in an expert. Like, hey, anybody that's really good at getting rid of the word the and consumers.
Yeah. That's what they did. They used some AI, probably was involved. Hoda has her own.
Allen Iverson.
is the answer.
Practice.
Hoda has her own podcast, so she famously, if people start plugging podcasts, she will.
Oh, yeah, gotcha, man.
It's unfortunate, but we're happy for Nate. Again, we give him the day off.
Hoda got a podcast?
Hoda's got one, yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know.
She's leaving, right?
HodaCast?
Yeah. HodaCast is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't think it's called that, but it should be.
It's no Randy Land. I can tell you that.
Randy Land is the opposite of HodaCast.
Yeah.
That is Randy Land... Is for a very different consumer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Randy Land is the knockoff ketchup.
Yeah.
You think so?
Randy Land ain't Hunt's, I can tell you that.
No.
No. Randy Land is it's down and dirty, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy Land's probably the fish sauce from ancient China.
Yeah.
This stuff
with the it could blow up at any time. You got to be real careful.
Yeah.
It's high caliber, though. It's good.
I think we should get right to fun facts, because I understand it from my partner, Tim, we have a lot of comments this week. A
lot of comments today.
Well, can I jump in? Are we?
Yeah, of course, Sean.
Now, maybe we're going to get, are we going to get to back when it, from its conception, what they were putting it on?
Ketchup? Putting it on?
Putting, well, yeah, what were they, what food?
Like items? Primarily?
Yeah.
No, tell me. I'd love to.
No, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I thought I was like asking you guys if it was going to come.
I was like, here we go.
Listen, man. It's that's the New thing. Year's Eve show. It's the holidays.
It is the holidays, man.
Some might say that my research was a little thin on this.
No.
Not like Heinz ketchup. But there's nothing like having your buddy just come up with random questions that I can't answer to make it appear even all more right. thin.
We might have to look that up. That is a great
hear
question.
Hear me out.
It started forever ago. It didn't have tomatoes. You're right.
I'm saying this.
They weren't putting it on French fries.
I'm not pointing the finger. I'm saying that I did my own research as well. I have a lot covered that Greg hit on. One thing I couldn't find was what they were putting on. They just kept talking about it like, we're using ketchup. We're using ketchup. We're going to put it. But they didn't say what they were putting it on. That's all I'm saying. Originally. Now, present day, of
anything
course.
Anything else you want to ask me? That up. What were Heinz's kids' names?
Literally, I just said that. I said, dude, it did a great job. I'm singing this
part. Fantastic history. I thought it was a little thin, honestly.
No, that is a great question. And even today, what percentage of ketchup sold? What is the thing it is going on the most? Is it French fries? Is that an
it's
insane?
French fries, man.
Gotta be French
McDonald's
fries, right?
Yeah, man.
It's French fries. Burgers and stuff.
Definitely yeah. gotta be. Yeah, burgers, fries for sure.
Burgers, yeah. fries. What do you guys, I don't really care for ketchup that much. I'll take it on
really?
Fries. But I more often than not, I do not have it on fries. I'm a mustard
it.
Guy. I love mustard.
Yeah.
But I don't want it on my hot dog. I don't want it on my hamburger. I don't really. I kind of like have you had the rare, but those ketchup potato chips?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are pretty
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. yeah.
I think Jay's out of Chicago makes a good ketchup potato chip.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Ruffle. It's not Ruffle, that's the brand, but it's like a ridged Jay's, and it has ketchup. It's really good.
I love it. I love it particularly in the glass bottle. I think it tastes a little bit better. I like the, sometimes in hotels, you'll get the smaller kind of
with
jar.
Room service. Yeah.
Super fancy. Yes.
Yeah. The little bottle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. The miniature bottle. Those, yeah, I'd like to have that.
Love that.
Yeah.
I also love it if, to go order. Sure, you get the packets, which are a little bit annoying. There's not that much ketchup in there. You don't need to refrigerate that, which I find fascinating. I like those. But the one where it's almost like a little tub that you peel back.
That's
and
right.
And you can either dip or there's a pour side too.
I know what you're talking about.
Love I that. Saw one in a, online, and I should have noted where it was from, but I think it was from another country, maybe Canada. Mm-hmm. It was like two tubs, sort of side by side, mm-hmm. two mini tubs, and you squeeze them together, and it easily just like when you squeeze the two tubs together, they both break open, and they both go up against each other, and it breaks the seal very easily.
Wow!
So, yeah, it breaks the seal. You don't have to tear little things like this.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. It's like a
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Check that out. That's awesome. Anyway, I'm a big, big fan. Let's do some fun facts. The speed at which ketchup pours from a glass bottle is 0.045 kilometers an hour, which is also the approximate speed of a garden snail. Not a street snail, Sean.
But a garden snail.
A garden snail specifically. That's really
man,
slow.
Man, I'm glad you made that clear, man, because that was going to really screw me up for the
most of us, when we picture a snail, it's not always a garden, but this is a garden snail. They're
garden
very,
snail.
Very, very small.
Street snail, they can run the mile in 390.
Those things cook, yeah, at least 390. the world's largest ketchup bottle, we know this because it's basically local. It's in Collinsville, Illinois.
You been?
Yeah, of course.
You been?
No.
I've been. My mom and I went to, they have a ketchup bottle festival every summer over in Collinsville. My mom and I one day just were like, yeah, let's go check this out, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
They're also big on the horseradish sauce over there. Or is that somewhere
it
else
is
in
the,
Illinois?
Well, horseradish, the plant, it's Southern Illinois is the capital of the world. They produce more horseradish than anywhere else in the world.
Wow.
I think it is right around Collinsville. It's close to here.
Yeah.
And the ketchup bottle... the world's largest ketchup bottle in Collinsville. It was Brooks was the name of that ketchup.
Brooks, that's right.
Yeah, that's defunct now.
It's not around anymore.
Not allowed.
They did barbecue sauce as well.
I don't know if they did. Thanks for asking more questions. Sean, you got anything else?
Randy said yes.
Yeah. Brooks?
Yeah, Randy said yes.
Thank God you're here, Randy. My God.
Yeah.
John Hines was a senator. Teresa Hines is married to John Kerry.
So Teresa was married to John
Kerry.
Teresa married into the Hines name. She was John Hines's, the senator John Hines's wife. He died in a plane crash, I believe.
Okay.
And then she married John Kerry.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
So she's, I don't think she's a Hines. No, she's, yeah.
So the John Hines she was married to is the son of this guy we've been talking about?
I think it's a lot farther back than that.
Okay.
Yeah, his great grandson pretty, or something. Oh, like okay. Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that. I thought she was actually.
I did too, Hines. Actually. Yeah, yeah. And I almost missed it. But yeah, she, cause she's Portuguese, I think, and they're German. Yeah. So she, yeah, yeah. But she, yeah, she was married to John Hines, the senator.
She went from one senator to another senator?
Yes, but not like you're making it sound like tawdry or something.
I'm not at all. I'm impressed.
They met. I think they met once.
What is she just jumping from senator?
Yeah, that's what you made it sound.
That's not
like.
What I mean.
They met at some conference, I think, once while she was married, and then later they were. I think it had something to do with the environment. They were both sort of big in on the environment, and they met again at another environment thing after she was a widow, and they hit it off.
Okay. That's so interesting.
And she said, I go by Teresa Hines, but for the campaign, I'll go by Teresa Hines Kerry.
Oh, okay.
Just that. Yeah. But she goes by Teresa Hines.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, man, in Pittsburgh, Hines is just, it's everywhere.
I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, that city's been really good to me over the years. A great radio station there, DVE. So I just feel like it's not a second home or anything, but I love Pittsburgh. And yeah, Hines.
Pittsburgh has been okay to Sean and I. We've had ups and downs.
Yeah.
Have either of you ever been to Pittsburgh?
I've been to Pittsburgh a ton. I love it.
Did you play there with
my
Ludo?
Least favorite place to drive, though.
Yeah?
Just the hills and the
a lot of hills. Yeah, yeah, it is. If you're not from there, it's confusing.
I should say to drive a van and a trailer, in the touring days. Yeah, it was just panic beautiful, city. Though. Bridges, it's beautiful. The people are really cool. I love Midwest. I love East Coast. And it's just a really nice kind of combination, yeah. I think, of those things.
It's, Heinz Field, of course, for the Steelers. The baseball stadium, PNC Park, is, I think, maybe the best baseball stadium there is.
Pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never been, man, and I want to go because aren't they known for some sandwich with a coleslaw on it?
Yeah.
What am I talking about? Or is that
Permane Brothers. Yeah, Permane Brothers. Basically, the steel workers would put like potato chips and coleslaw, all the sides they'd put on the sandwich because when you're up on a steel girder, you don't want to be like going for sides. So they all put it on one sandwich.
Together.
Yeah,
yeah. I love it.
Permane Brothers. Yeah, you should check it out, man.
I loved it, man. I got to get up there.
We should all, yeah, let's all go to Pittsburgh.
We should go to Pittsburgh. Maybe we'll do a live podcast in Pittsburgh.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, we're throwing around some ideas for that. That's going to happen in 2025. I don't know where first, if I had to guess, Chicago.
Yeah, love Chicago.
We're getting a lot of Chicago listeners.
Yep. Big fan. That's it. Now that city's been good to me.
Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Coal tar was originally used as dye to give Hines its color. Coal tar.
Yeah, it's not appetizing.
Coal tar, you would think, would be very dark.
Yeah.
And not involved in making something red.
Coal tar sounds anymore. Like a cartoon villain.
I am coal tar.
It does, man. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's coal tar.
Not coal tar.
I am coal tar. Well, wait a minute.
You will kneel before coal tar.
Isn't there a Voltar?
Voltar. I think there was. Maybe that's
Voltar is the, is that the thing in Big where he wishes that he grows up?
I think Voltar? You're right.
Might be Voltar.
People are going to be mad. Let's just looking at the ingredients now.
Maybe Voltron? No, Voltron was another thing.
Voltron was the robot lions who made the one big guy who was, he was awesome.
Robots in disguise. Transformers?
That's Transformers.
I don't know, man.
Come on.
Sorry, guys.
Randy's over here. Lucky Nate's not here today.
Look up Voltar, please, Randy, if you don't mind.
In 1981, this is incredible. Someone in the Reagan administration proposed having ketchup designated as a vegetable to reduce school lunch subsidies.
Yeah, I remember reading about this.
I mean, it's creative, right?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't think you're getting a lot of vegetable in there. I mean, you're probably getting a decent amount of vegetable. You're getting some other stuff with it.
I will say this, the first ingredient, which means it is the thing that it's made up of the most, is tomato concentrate from red ripe tomatoes. So that's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Second ingredient, distilled vinegar. And then our good friend,
Coal Tar.
High fructose corn syrup. I am Coal Tar.
Voltar is not the guy from Big.
Oh.
What is the machine in Big, Randy?
Well, it's not the Voltar. Machine. It was it was the video game he was playing, right?
Yeah, machine is nothing like a video game.
What
are you talking about?
Zoltar.
That's what I'm thinking. Zoltar.
It was right there.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So we've covered Zoltar, Coal Tar, and Voltar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, sounds like a whole other pod.
But not Voltron.
Yeah, we hit that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Walnut ketchup was author Jane Austen's favorite. I have no idea what walnut ketchup is.
Well, it was stuff they were doing before they got to tomatoes.
Oh, they used another thing?
Yeah, there was a lot of fish stuff, and then there was a walnut ketchup. Yeah,
it was on.
Huh? You'd have to ask Jane, but I mean, here's the thing.
Hey, Jane, Tim Convey, listen. About this walnut ketchup.
I don't know when Jane was alive. I think it was early 1800s. Late 1700s. Late 1700s, mm-hmm. Early 1800s. Jane, if she's getting behind a product at that time, it's selling.
Yep.
I mean, she was a big deal.
Yeah. Huge. Good PR there.
Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility.
Clueless.
No.
Yes.
I don't think that was Jane Austen. It is.
Clueless is based on her book, her novel.
Which one?
What's the other one? Keep going. You said Pride and Prejudice. You said
Sense and Sensibility. So I got four.
What's the one?
Wow, Combi got it.
Woo!
Look at that.
Emma, Clueless. There you go.
Yep.
Clueless. Well, of course he's going to get that book.
Clueless is loosely.
Of course he's going to get that book. He married Emma.
Clueless is loosely based on Jane Austen's 1815 novel, Emma, which they remade Emma recently as well.
But that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So who played Emma in the remake?
I think it was, we're going to have Randy look that up too. People make fun of me.
Jodie Foster?
We have Randy look stuff up, even though I've got a laptop here. Hang on. Don't tell me. The gal who was in The Queen's Gambit, and she's the princess's voice in Mario.
She's really good.
That's right? Who I think it was. Yeah.
No, you're not kidding.
We're not now.
Yeah, and I'm right.
Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also in that movie, Bill Nye, not the science guy.
Looking, that's Bill Nye. He's in a ton of stuff.
He's great. He's the British guy. He's great. He's fantastic.
Bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do Jane Austen as a brand. I think real soon.
Probably. I don't think we will.
Yeah. No. I think we should put it.
No. I think we might do Clueless. We're not going to do films. That's not really a brand.
You can just do a movie.
Yeah.
But
do a studio. Like
TriStar. Yeah.
Yeah. TriStar.
No.
I mean. I don't know. I can't tell. I'm aware of TriStar, but I can't tell you a single movie that is TriStar's.
Bistar?
What's the, I don't even.
Yeah, I don't know. Warner Brothers, maybe. I don't know. I just thought that I feel like that would be like the eighth guess.
But that's not I would argue that's not a brand where people are like loyal, like, oh, dude, I love True. Warner. I love Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah. Oh, did you see what TriStar is working on?
The director.
You would
be like, I'm going to go see a.
We could do Tarantino.
I'm not going to say a director because he's going to make fun of me. That's the 25th most popular director, dummy.
No, we could do Tarantino. We could do Spielberg. We could, of course, do who everyone knows directed A Walk to Remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, you don't even know.
I got blown away by the actors. I didn't need the directors. It was
the thing directed itself. Really, yeah, you got a story that good and a cast that strong.
And the writers and the actors took it over. Yeah, man. They took it and ran with it.
Yeah, they did. They did.
The three central characters were just powerful,
phenomenal.
Oh my god! All right. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's the two young people that are falling in love, but also her dad.
Yeah,
Manny Moore's dad. Yeah, that was. That was the main people.
You and I got to watch it.
I know, man. I mean, it's just too amazing.
John's going to hate it.
Yes.
Tim's going to hate it, too.
A Walk to Remember? Yeah, I'm not going to like
it. Sean doesn't like many of the movies or TV shows that I like. He doesn't like The Wire. He doesn't think
it's good.
Yeah, I know. You don't like The Wire?
I don't like it. It just wasn't like this thing that was like, oh, it's the greatest show of all time.
Oh, it's top five for me, for sure.
Now, I only went through two seasons, and I'm just like, I'm just wasn't having it. So,
okay.
I mean, This is how I feel. I'm sorry, man.
It's okay. I respect
no, it's
you.
Okay. I'm just and it's I you know I just I'm just saying we probably don't see. You probably am not gonna like Walk to Remember. It's very.
I'd give it a shot.
It's very similar to The Wire. Yeah, it's yeah.
Art. It's like be a Netflix recommendation. If you watch, The Wire, you'll probably
Mandy
like.
Mandy Moore is kind of the Omar character. Yeah. Of Walk to Remember.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. Back to Heinz. Ed Sheeran has a bottle of Heinz tattooed on his bicep. Ed Sheeran famously absolutely loves Heinz ketchup. He's obsessed with it to the point where, yep, he's got a tattoo. And then Heinz for a while did a special Ed Sheeran bottle. They did kind of an Ed Sheeran design and put they were limited edition, the whole thing. So tight relationship between those.
What two. Do you think we can get in on?
Well, Tim's already going to do Domino's. He what said do he'd do it.
Oh, the tattoo. Yeah.
You Russia, the if that thing was still around yeah, the back Russian in Russia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Get the Domino's tattoo, the Noid on there.
I'm thinking, though, like.
Noid tattoo is good.
Maybe Jif or Pringles.
You could do a Jif tattoo.
You would have to do it.
That'd
Jif.
Be great.
I got. I had breakfast with Brazzi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who runs Smucker's, who owns Jif.
Yeah.
And he told me some interesting stuff, man. We're going to see if we can't get something together going with the brand.
Get some big
this year
things.
With the consumers. He was telling me like the all-star brand right now over at Smucker's, the one that is killing it,
mm-hmm.
killing it. What is it? Can't get enough. They can't make enough.
Is it something new or something that's been around? That's been
around.
Having a
moment? I mean, it's been around, but not, it's definitely newer than Jif.
What?
Uncrustables.
Oh yeah. It's always
it
been
is, killing it. It is just killing it, man. It is a superstar brand.
I've never really gone in. What's so great about it?
I mean,
it's just easy.
I think what he says is kids love it, you mm-hmm. know, because it's just kind of a cool looking thing, and it's
yeah,
and then parents will like be like having to be like, oh, that's great,
really?
And then they're rediscovering peanut butter and jelly,
yeah,
and they're buying a jar of Jif and a loaf of bread.
You know? Yeah, I'm eating peanut butter and jelly fairly regularly.
Are you?
I don't do Uncrustables.
I think you got to get in on that, especially for the kids.
All right.
Yeah.
It's going to cost me more money than making it myself, though, right?
Is it room cap?
I don't want to sell Brazzi
question.
Down the river, but I'm going to guess there's some margin.
Bit of a...
Yeah. I'm going to guess they're making a little more margin.
Than a regular old... If I can support Brazzi,
I think you're paying for some packaging and sure. for some branding there.
And a great name. Uncrustables is a great name.
But it looks
name.
To me like a pastry, basically. It's you know...
So Sean was saying, do you put it in the... is it room temperature?
I think it is. I think it comes frozen. I'm pretty sure it comes frozen.
That sounds right.
The version that I had, Michael Chandler was doing sort of a health food version. Michael Chandler, the fighter, the UFC fighter,
MMA,
who you guys have both met. He was a spokesperson for something called Kram, K-R-A-M, and they're very, very good. And I hate to, I'm sorry, Brazzi. I'm not.
Kram was also a villain in 80s cartoon.
Kram was too, yeah. And he worked for.
He was in He-Man.
Voltar. And
yeah.
it's Voltar and Kram.
Yeah. No, so he was selling something. He sent me a bunch of them, and I loved them.
Mm.
They were like, I think a healthier, I don't know, something like whole grain. Or mm-hmm. I can't remember. But the Kram was very good. And they came in the freezer, and you just put them in a toaster, and it would come out, and it was like having a pastry.
Wow.
You know, so I imagine Uncrustables. I don't eat Uncrustables. You know, I'm a purist. If I'm going to have Jif, I'm going to have Jif.
And a spoon.
And a spoon. Maybe some bread,
yeah.
You know, every now and then. But I don't need jelly. But I may start getting in on the Uncrustables. But I will tell you, Kram's awful good.
Kram.
Pretty sure you put it in a toaster.
Okay.
It was like blackberry and peanut butter. The only problem with Kram is I don't think that's Jif peanut butter in there, whereas my man Brazzi is putting Jif peanut butter into the
Kram.
K-R-A-M right there.
That's high protein.
High protein PB&J.
Let's see if old Kram wants to sponsor the consumers.
Well, I mean, why not have the Uncrustables sponsored?
Well, yeah, of course.
I'm consumers.
Yeah.
We got the connection.
Yeah. Well, what are we waiting for?
That's a good point.
400 episodes in and you can't pull the trigger on this thing?
Are we at 400?
Mm-hmm.
We should have done something special.
Yeah, $3.99. But Tim's close.
Yeah.
What else you got on the fun facts?
That's it for fun facts.
Pretty fun.
Close it down with Sharon.
Yep. I'd say fun facts a little better in the history segment.
Don't beat yourself up. You did a good job with what you had to work with.
No, I
thought it was great, man.
It was all over the place. Well, you were shooting holes in it.
He did shoot holes in it by asking a question.
Yeah. I mean, you're coming out of left field, man.
I got some fun facts.
Do you,
you guys want me to get involved?
Yeah. We always want you involved.
Let me do my part. Just White talk. Castle, first fast food to serve
ketchup.
Heinz. Ketchup.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it was the first fast food.
Well, it was in 1921.
Oh, that makes sense.
1921.
It was the first fast food.
So it was just a part of it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying they were the first to serve. They were
also the first to serve hamburgers and bread.
Oh, all right. Well, there goes that fun one. Let's try a different one.
I'd like to share this.
And they were the first to have a bathroom, too.
Yeah.
And chairs, I guess.
First one to have employees.
First one to serve food fast as well.
Yeah.
In the 1830s, ketchup was sold as a medicine to treat ailments like diarrhea, indigestion, rheumatism, and jaundice.
Wow.
Not sure how you missed that, man.
That's a fun fact. Well, it's not that fun. Are you interrupting his fun fact segment? You had your fun fact segment.
Well, mine got debunked. Our mine was basically like, yeah, we know. So
yeah, no, I thought you had something.
I got another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Richard Nixon, former president, put ketchup on his eggs? Cottage cheese.
God, good Lord.
This is real. This is real.
This is not good.
You can verify it. So, and people were not having it at the old White House. They're like, come on, Rich. Is this really? I need to go down this path.
Do you guys put on your scrambled eggs? Because I know some people do that.
No, I do not. My wife does. My son does now. I don't like it.
She's got Timothy doing that.
And I love Heinz ketchup.
Yeah.
And I love scrambled eggs, but I don't do it together. My dad does that as well.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
Can't do it.
Salt and pepper is all I need on my scrambled eggs.
Same, man.
If you do them right. I do. Yeah. Maybe a little cheese.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Let's do some comments, man, is what we should
comments,
do.
Comments, you got it. These are comments from the YouTube page. Please keep on commenting on there. Comment in the consumers fan page over on Facebook.
That was a little Greg Warren stumble.
Yeah, I've had a few.
You're a professional broadcaster.
A little sleepy. You know, this time of year, things get a little bit crazy.
I know, man. Guys, we're coming out strong in January. So don't beat us up over this episode.
This episode's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know why he's all sour.
I just didn't feel
great
like
great job today. No, it's good. Everything's good.
I mean, January is going to be strong.
Yeah, January, though.
Yeah. We're coming out with something right out of the gun.
See what we have coming around the corner.
If you're on the fence about this thing, we're going to turn the corner in January. Yeah. No, some people are in. Let's get some comments. Austin Renkamp 8205 said, I just went camping the last couple of days. I brought some peanut butter and jelly materials from home. Jif, of course, for the peanut butter. Then I stopped for some gas, and the station had some Kit Kats for $1 a piece. I got 3 when I finally made camp in the rain in Humboldt County, California. Shout out, California. I realized I had the supplies for Greg's recommendation. You guys were so right. Kit Kats and peanut butter was life-changing. Holy cow. I ran 10 miles in the Redwoods the next day and that with that energy, and it was so delicious. You guys are the bee's knees. Thank you.
10 miles?
Off Kit Kats and peanut butter. It's pretty good.
Yeah, these are... I'll tell you this, and I used to be a runner, and I still work out, but those two Gregs are very different Gregs.
Sure.
The Greg eating peanut butter and eating Kit Kats dipped in peanut butter, that's usually followed by several days of not running 10 miles.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Works for this guy.
This guy's awesome.
It is delicious. So lots of comments on the Gatorade episode. Sally Duke 8006 said... I had to drink 64 ounces of Gatorade before my first colonoscopy, laced with Marillax.
Yeah.
I cannot drink enough. So a lot of people, I brought that up on the Gator episode. A lot of people said, yeah, I cannot look at it now after the
essentially,
colonoscopy.
Incidentally
situation.
Is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Marillax is Coal Tar's sister.
He's right, man. That does check out. Yeah. I got that in my notes.
Yeah. That's really good. I'm not going to read all of them, but a lot of people said, yep, cherry Gatorade is dead for me. People went on and on. So I think it's good.
I didn't know there was a cherry Gatorade.
Fruit punch, I
Glacier cherry flavor.
Glacier cherry.
Yeah. Yep.
What's the one?
But that- I think it's clear. It's like a white. It's not red.
Oh, that could be.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, could be. Brett Schnoblin, who I feel like we've read a few comments from, he said,
Brett gets in there, man.
We talked about the fruit stripe gum, how the wrapper is edible. He said, yeah, I think the FDA required the wrapper of fruit stripe to be edible as kids were likely to eat it. Also, did you know the stickers on fruit and vegetables in the produce department are edible as well?
No.
Yeah.
There's.
I mean, I read it right in our YouTube comments. It must be true. Yeah.
That is true, man.
The apple thing? The apple sticker?
I guess so. The real little one. That makes sense.
I'm going to start eating the apple stickers then because I'm tired of getting them off.
I'm already eating the core.
That's how you burn. That's
why. Are you eating the core? My dad's done
already eating the core.
My dad's eaten the core before.
Really?
Yeah.
Not good, man. I mean, aren't those seeds poisonous?
Cherry seeds are, I believe. Cherries.
Yeah, but I think apple, I mean, you'd have to have a bunch of them.
I think you'd have to have a lot of them.
Sean Gatorade episode was taking a shot at Barefoot Wine, making fun of it, how it's the official wine of the NFL or something like that. And then Jacob K66 said, hey, Sean, some of us have to make a career out of selling Barefoot Wine.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I actually saw that one. And it's
you're
like
going after so people. This thing started with vendors. You're going after this poor guy's.
I did not make fun of Barefoot Wine.
Food on his
I was just saying it was it's kind of you think NFL.
Right. No, you're fine.
Did you see I connected that? No, he's a handsome man. I'm sure. I'm not.
What does his attractiveness plug have this. To do with this?
Here.
Was he putting pictures up?
Were you like, oh, he's the one, man.
Might not even be a man. We sell at the St. Louis Funny Bone Barefoot Wine only. So there you go.
That's the only wine you can get at the St. Louis Funny Bone?
Yes.
Back when I used to drink Barefoot wine. I can tell you that if you really wanted other wine, the owner who likes wine, Gerald, had some really good stuff next door.
Oh yeah, the secret stash.
Yeah. Private.
Yeah.
His own stuff.
Jay Lore, I think, was what I was drinking over there back in the day.
Hello.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know what that is. MC Morris 6714 said, delighted to be among that episode's well-curated comments. Without being very rapacious, I hope I get another comment read in the future. Very excited to have tickets to see Greg in DC.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Rapacious. She used the Sean's word.
It was a Sean word. Yeah.
That's really good. Amanda Akers Homestead said, I love the podcast in part because of the conviction with which each of you says incorrect things. Brandi Chastain took off her shirt, not Mia Hamm. Rookie of the year.
I didn't say that. She's wrong. I didn't say it was Mia Hamm. I said, you remember when the other girl took off her shirt? I did not say Mia Hamm.
You didn't?
She's doing exactly what she said that I'm doing. I didn't say that.
Oh, well, I'm with her. Man. I misunderstood you as well then. Because I thought that's what you were saying.
No.
Well, she continued. Rook of the year was about Henry Roengarter pitching for the Chicago Cubs, not the Twins. I don't remember us saying that.
No, we definitely didn't say that.
I said the Twins, but there was a different.
Oh, did you?
There was a Twin. Wasn't there?
The Twins movie is where the kid manages the team.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Is that what?
Randy? It's called the kid manages the team.
Kid manages the team.
What is that what Tom Selleck?
He inherits the team.
No, that's
Mr. Baseball.
That's Mr. Baseball,
which is really good.
Good movie.
What's the one where he manages? I can picture it.
Yeah, Twins. The guy.
Little Big League.
Okay. Little Big League.
Yeah, Little Big League. Yeah. He confused him. She said there were at least one or two other inaccuracies said in that same small. She couldn't even keep track of all the wrong things we said before she could even complete. Her coffee, it's a miracle I didn't spit my drink up. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I know what I meant when I was talking about Brandi Chastain. I know I didn't know Brandi Chastain, but I knew it wasn't me and him. Now, I could have had some
it's all right.
slips of the tongue where it sounded like I knew at the time I didn't mean that it was me and him.
Yeah. That's all right.
It was kind of like me with the clock, man. Like
390?
390. Oh,
I would, like, I would
swear
bring
that up. To you, I know that there's 60 seconds in a minute. I know that's baffling to people.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this is what my dumb brain does. So when it shows the full time,
Sean right now is pointing at a clock. You guys can't
doesn't
see
matter.
That.
This doesn't matter.
It kind of does.
No, it doesn't.
Here's the what shovel. I have a feeling you're going to dig yourself in deeper, but go ahead.
You guys. I mean, the interrupting, just it's insanity.
Go ahead.
It's absolute insanity.
Go ahead.
Because if you look at the fastest mile, it's to the hundredth of a second. So I think when my brain, I'm looking at the hundredth of a second, which is like 3.43.72. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I was going with that.
You meant to say 3.9 or 3.90, which both would have been acceptable.
I think I made my case.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I feel better about it.
Yeah. So it was still a dumb thing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not excusing. But that's where I was going. So
Tahoe Gardner 1660 said, listen, I understand it may take a while to upgrade your table, but if you got some chairs with armrests, you would look more comfortable and you might actually be more comfortable. Watching you guys with no armrests on your chair actually makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Great show. Keep up the good work.
I've got armrests.
Oh, yeah.
We don't.
Greg's the captain. That's how that works.
I never even thought about that.
I've got armrests.
Is it? It's uncomfortable to watch us without armrests?
I think that there's probably underneath it, she's probably uncomfortable because of many other things that we're doing on this
right.
show. And she's blaming on the armrest.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to come out and say, I'm uncomfortable with Greg stuttering. I'm uncomfortable with 390. I'm uncomfortable. She's probably just trying to be, I'm uncomfortable with Randy sneezing back there. Yeah. Yeah, you know, she's uncomfortable with a lot of stuff. Okay. Yeah. She's uncomfortable with the lights.
Tim can't find ketchup bottles.
Oh, we get into some lines.
Sean shaking the table.
Yeah. What a good time.
Boy, am I shaking the table?
Yes. Wait till 2025, though. Guys.
I don't have any armrests, like they said. That's the problem. Give me some armrests. I'll stop shaking the table.
Josh Prowse Music said, I enjoy watching the podcast on YouTube. I've been here from the original episode all the way to the 98th episode and back to the 12th. I've never been able to look at Tim because of the two red Pringles cans that aren't faced properly on the shelf. I understand if this is a strategy to distract from the desk, but I may need to find a platform where I only listen if this isn't resolved by next week's 200th episode celebration. We fixed them.
I don't know.
We kind of fixed them.
We did not fix them.
They look different. We got to look at them on camera and we'll fix them, but that's fair. A couple other people.
I think we need to get, we've been eating Pringles, to be honest with you guys.
Conrad Bowen said the same thing. Love the podcast, but please fix the alignment of the last two red Pringle cans on Tim's shot. OCD unite.
We do have some OCD viewers.
Yeah, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, except for all the inaccuracies on this podcast. We're going to get hammered.
Do you guys have OCD?
Yes.
I do not. I got a whole lot of that.
I think
ADD
I've
stuff.
Told you I had OCD. So why? You just did it because you want to point out my problems? Is that what you're doing?
No, not at
That's
all.
That's what
man.
You're doing.
I got a lot of problems. You want me to list mine? So
no.
My girlfriend Heather's got it. Like it's this thing. Like we like to watch Jeopardy, and we'll put it in the DVR and say we have five of them in there, so we'll watch four. And if there's one less left, she can't take it.
Oh, she has to.
So
watch.
I'm like, yeah, we're good. That's 2 hours of Jeopardy. I'm out. And she's like, well, there's one left, and I'm like, that's right, there is one left.
Yeah.
And that means we'll watch that one left at another date. She's like, well, that we can just finish it. And I'm like, or we can just let it sit. It's DVR. It's not going to disappear.
Yeah.
She's like, well, we should just finish it. I was like, just say it. I know what it is. You got it. It's the thing, the number. You can't have one left over. So now my move is it's always about having one left over. So if we have dinner and say there's, we're having whatever, French fries. And if I leave like one, I'll leave one French fry. She's like, why don't you just finish your meal?
Just good. So you leave it just to make her angry?
You better believe
it's good
it, man.
She has
just to get her going.
Supportive partner for that.
Yeah. It's more and fun. So,
yeah.
But it's just that thing. That would be, I think, considered OCD, though.
Well, yeah.
I'm not picking on. I have ADD severely.
Yeah.
I don't remember even what this episode brand's about, for God's sake. So.
It's Heinz, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Heinz,
see,
dude.
That's my point.
Look behind you.
It's right behind you.
57. What are you, Tim?
Yeah, use that great vision of yours.
Hey, man, I did get one word.
I would completely
you can make fun of me.
Read I got... anything. I would win any game. Well, I don't know that one.
I said refreshing. I got one out of two. That's still pretty strong.
50%.
Darth Elliott said, the way those Christmas lights look on the table is very on brand for a podcast about brands. That's fair. This will probably be the last app.
Oh, yeah.
With the Christmas
look
lights.
Look at this beautiful.
I'm calling it right now. It's permanent.
They're staying?
Yeah.
Love that. I'm in.
Yeah. We
totally
I like that
in.
We have like nine random bulbs out
no,
too.
No, we're not going to make them permanent.
Totally
this is the end
in.
Of them. And next year, we're going to come up with something different.
Mark Brown 80 said, Randy Fax, he was an Allman Brother. His one-man band is a supergroup, and he successfully avoided the Noid for 30 years. And he's the only man to ever out Pizza the Hut.
I like this is sort of a... most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, people like Randy.
Theme.
Which is why Randyland, I mean, that did his
take. Hey, who was Greg Allman married to?
Cher.
That's it. Among others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because his son that Randy was in the band with, Cher's not his mom.
That's where I was going with this.
Yeah, no, Randy, I mean, he's...
That's, I was going to say, so like, is Randy
Cher's not
the
your
son
mom. Is she Randy? Okay.
Your mom is not Cher. Have you met... You were in a band with Cher for a minute, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was it called?
The Randy Cher
Project? Randy Land Cher
Project. C. Bailey.
Randy Cash Project.
No, I like that.
I like that.
C. Bailey 4322 said, hopefully Little Debbie's on the docket. I don't actually eat Little Debbie. But as a child, it was and is a mainstay. I love the podcast and have been here since day one, really enjoying the dynamics between all of you, especially Greg and Sean, busting each other and arguing like brothers. Those who complain must have not had brothers in their lives.
That's fair. Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah.
I think Little Debbie would be a good one to do.
Yeah.
We took a little break from some of the stuff. We were getting a little crazy with how much food we were eating in here.
Yeah. I mean,
Little
it was...
Debbie. The problem with Little Debbie is like you could eat seven of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You just eat seven of those.
And I'm talking boxes.
Yeah. I would do
it's
that.
It's not healthy, but they are fun.
C. Bailey goes on to say, Tim is just a breath of joy. Yes, I said it. All three personalities combined, the podcast is absolutely consumable.
Man.
I'll take that.
That is good.
And I want to say, you know, people hated when I said you have been consumed, and we won't do that anymore because they said it didn't make any sense. It can make sense. For the last hour and a half, you have been consumed by what we were doing.
Okay.
Meaning that you were all the way bought in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going back. We're going to stick with you have the right to charge your phone, and maybe we'll come up with something else.
Sure.
Probably not going to be anything about ketchup. But
never know. But yeah.
Yeah, you guys follow me?
It makes perfect sense. But the way you said it, you're like, you've been consumed.
Yeah, dunked on him.
Yeah,
like, and one type vibe.
And one.
And one. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There you go. There's our new one. And one.
You want to just do and one?
Please don't. They would.
And one.
We would instantly, that would be the last episode people listen to.
Now, let's say this was a like button right there. What would you tell people to do to that?
That right there. You got to smash that like button. Come on, guys. Subscribe, comment, and smash that like button. Idiots. Yeah, just when I think I'm so dumb, I watch those things, and I just feel good about myself so much. It's like 5 minutes of wasted content. Smashing my head is what I'm doing. Mm. That's what I'm smashing. You can do your videos. Stop telling me to do this. I'll like it if I like it. Or I'll subscribe. If I like the thing, I'll subscribe the thing. You have to tell me how to behave.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's insufferable.
You don't care for it, huh?
I don't like it.
It's just, I don't mind if you're even just like, hey, man, do me a favor. If you can, it helps me out. There's a couple of guys I've seen that are like, it helps me out. If you don't mind, just to do, it's they do this like big pitch. It's just cartoonish and dumb. And it's just like,
it's that thing where, and I found myself in college, we thought we were all real clever because you just come up with another word to say for some, like instead of saying press the like button or hit the like button, you say smash.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you all think you're real cool.
Oh, yeah. they think they're the coolest, man.
Yeah.
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 yeah it's yeah. just irritating.
Yo, dog, smash.
Like, comment, subscribe, and smash. Smash it. You mean... take my remote and just hit the center button. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's just so callow.
Yeah. What is it?
You want it, you got it.
What is it? Callow, what is it?
No, you guys got to earn it. I'm sick and tired of you. Maybe if you guys read more, you'll understand what these words mean.
From the context?
Yeah, guess from the context. It's actually not that hard. It's not that hard.
It's so callow.
Although you'll never just get it. It could be too many.
I like worked shallow. With a Mary Callow at one point.
C-A-L-L-O-W.
I've been known to use a Calomine lotion. Is
similar
to that?
Yeah. Is
pretty
it
good, man.
Is it an anti-
Callow.
I think it's
C-A-L-L-O-W?
Yeah. Randy, you want to pull it up?
Callow.
See if
Well, you tell us. You tell us first.
I basically think it's just a fancy way of saying immature.
Inexperienced or immature.
There
yep.
you go.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, they're so.
Where did you find this one? I like this one.
I read.
Hello. Really?
That's all I'm doing.
And am I wrong?
I will find it in an article, and then I'll be like, I don't know what it means.
You know
and
what?
Then I'll write it down. Then I'll look it up, and there you go.
It's a how it works. Lady Gaga song, isn't it? Does she sing about that?
Close.
No.
I see the way your brain's working.
That's the Shallows.
It's not?
It's not the Callows, buddy.
For sure.
Yeah, with old young Bradley in there singing the back vocals.
Terribly. One of my least favorite songs of all time, by the way.
Not a fan.
Just atrocious. I hate it so much.
Is he a good... Is he?
No, it's bad. It's terrible.
Okay, okay.
It's terrible. Nothing against him personally.
Greg loves it. Look at this.
No business.
Sour face.
You really love that song?
He doesn't hate it. He probably wished it was in Walk to Remember. They wrote it 20 years ago. That'd be a perfect... Marriage.
I'd listen to Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore
all day.
Sang, didn't she?
Oh my God, she's an incredible talent.
Yeah,
for real.
You don't think Bradley is? Huh?
No, it's bad. It's real bad
for a musician.
Great.
I'm just saying
the song. You're saying I mean, he's a great actor, though.
Yeah, he's for sure. He's a good actor.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Coop.
Yeah. Coop Dog.
Yeah.
Coop Dog. I didn't see his. He directed that Leonard Bernstein movie. I never saw that. So I'll get back to you after that.
Okay.
Oh, I got two more comments I'd like to do. Rhonda, we read her comment last
we're out
week.
Of time.
No.
Sorry, buddy.
We read her.
Smash that like.
We read Rhonda's comment. She was beating us up about the lighting. She said we needed more lighting.
That's crazy.
And
let's hear Rhonda out.
Let's give her a chance. She says, well, before you read my comment, I was thinking, yay, better lighting today when she tuned in. To the last The Gatorade episode. Alas, as I heard, this was not actually the case. It must have been brighter only in my own eyes. And I apparently wounded the heart of the podcast by asking to kick things up a bit. It's okay. Still loving you guys. It's also fun to see slash hear that each week you are having more fun doing the podcast and like hanging out with each other and with us. Looking forward to 2025 with the consumers. I mean, Rhonda is...
Just help me. Help me, Rhonda.
Really feeling it. Very guilty about the lights.
I wasn't going to say it.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
I just thought it was a dumb joke.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't want to
That's why it's so fun.
I didn't want to interrupt Tim's report, so I wrote, help me, Rhonda, on the back of the paper.
And they showed it to me.
And I showed it to Sean because I thought he would kind of think it was stupid and funny.
It is.
But I didn't want you to say it because then, basically, I should have said it because now.
What?
No, I mean, I didn't want you to have to say it.
You're having a bad day.
I put you in a
You know, I tried to really stand by. I mean, you're all over the floor.
I know you tried to
help
me.
Giving me codes.
What I'm saying is I'm sorry. I didn't want you to say my dumb joke.
It was dumb, which makes it fun.
Okay.
I mean, as opposed to suffering succotash.
Yeah.
Legendary. Legendary.
There's two things can be true at the same time.
Legendary.
It is dumb and it is fun. That's what I'm saying. It's when they're dumb and not fun, that's when we have problems.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Rhonda, you are forgiven. Thank you for owning it. Not unlike Randy owns his own mistakes, which we appreciate as well.
Oh, yeah. If you guys don't know, Randy really screwed up a couple weeks ago. We didn't get the episode.
But he owned
up.
It.
He owned it.
He owned it. Nate forgave him. It took a little while.
Yeah.
Nate was real upset. Kind of screwed some things up with the CBS special, but they've patched things up and they're okay. And finally, Mallory Broomfield said, I've listened to every episode and I'm still not sure if I like it or not. There are a few episodes that I didn't listen to all the way through. But something about you guys keeps me coming back. I'm annoyed. I'm delighted. I laugh and I roll my eyes. I just can't figure you out. But chances are that I will keep listening every week. You're growing on me.
I think that's the most glowing.
Thank you, Mallory. I know.
That's our biggest fan right there.
That's real.
You can't do any better than that.
Nope.
Because anybody that says, I love everything you do, they're not listening.
No.
No.
We're making mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dumb stuff.
Still feeling it out.
Yeah.
25 is when we're really going to like.
Yeah. Next level.
Hit our stride.
Yeah. Sean's doing help me Rhonda jokes and it's not his fault.
Hey, man, I'm here for the team. I'm here for the team.
I want to just be sure. When I wrote help me Rhonda.
Yeah.
And showed it to you. Did you think I was like. I'm going to give this gold to Sean and not.
Here's what I thought, because you've never done that in the history of the show.
I just didn't want to interrupt Tim because I've been interrupting too much. And, you know, I thought maybe it's just a little joke between me and you about how dumb it was.
Yeah, but then I would have started laughing and then he would have been like, what's going on? And then we would have to expose it.
Yeah, you're
if
right.
I see that, then I start giggling. Then Tim's like, what is
this?
I don't
is all
get
on me, man. It was a dumb joke.
It wasn't, man. Keep your chin up. You know, you can't go in with this negative energy into 25, man.
Yeah, first of all, don't beat yourself up. It's fine. But this kind of stuff is not going to fly in 25. I'm telling you.
You're right.
Get it out of your system.
This is going to put what's her name over the top.
Rhonda?
No, Mallory.
Oh, Mallory. Yeah. Mallory. She's on the fence.
Mallory's on the fence right
She's
now.
She's on the fence. I love it.
She may be gone before we even read her comment. The Rhonda thing may have been that's too what much. Broke her.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
And she's never going to hear her comment read on this podcast.
Yeah. People might.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
It's like those guys that make a movie and then they die and they never get to see the movie made or whatever, that kind of thing.
Or Otis Redding. He wanted a number one his whole life. He never got it. He recorded Dock of the Bay and he died like a week before it came out. It was his first number one.
Oh, really? Yeah, man.
Otis Redding. He was in his 20s.
Now, he had some other hits though, didn't he?
Well, I mean, he wrote Respect by Aretha Franklin, which she had a huge hit with. It wasn't a hit for him. And he's got, you know, songs that did well, but not number one.
Not a number one.
Until Dock of the Bay, which again, he died before it even came out.
Yeah. I'm going to probably mess this up, but was it Sublime or?
Singer died before.
He died before they were like as big as they were, right?
For sure. Yeah. Okay. They had a nice little Southern California thing, a part of that scene. But then when, you know, What I Got was Sublime's big song. By the time that was out, he died. Not long before that all happened.
Presto, I got that one?
I was very proud. Yeah, it's Sublime. I didn't know that's in Greg's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it.
Yeah. And now they're one of my absolute favorites. And his son, Bradley Noel, was the lead singer. He had a son named Jacob who has now taken over as the lead singer. And Sublime is now back playing all those songs. The kid sings, plays guitar, sounds a lot like his dad. And they're out on tour all over and making new music. So it's good.
And Sean and I are just holding on until Timothy or Jack can step in.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Take over your spot on this podcast.
Timothy's pretty funny, man.
He's funny. I saw him last night. He's a funny guy, man. Very busy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He's not as good as me at like curating comments.
No.
But I think he could hold his own.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. We're looking.
How old is he now?
Almost three. He'll be three in a couple months.
Probably audition when he gets to be six.
You think
give
so?
Him an audition.
Yeah.
Just to see what he's got. We don't expect him to come in at six and knock out of the park. But if we see some promise at six, because we're not going to fire you.
Okay.
Right off the bat, we're going to be like, hey, listen, Timothy's looking good.
Yeah.
I would look for another podcast within the next year and a half.
Okay.
Is what Sean and I have agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. If we see promise within Timothy.
That's fine. Timothy likes both of you guys a lot more than I do for one. So that's probably a good thing. And quite frankly, once we launch Randyland, I'm probably going to jump ship over there,
man.
Anyway.
You're going, you'll leave us, won't you?
Yeah, I will. I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
It's bigger opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. Here's what I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
You went to an exclusive private high school.
It was not easy to get into.
Priory. Yeah, it's a lot of rich kids.
Tough academically.
It just doesn't match up with Randyland. Okay. If you'd have flunked out of that school, maybe. If you flunked out of a public school, that fits up with.
This shows kind of a lack of understanding on your part about what Randyland is all about. If I'm being honest with you, Randyland is in a lot of ways, it's for everybody. Sure, it centers around Randy Cash, but there's something relatable for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we do half of the things that we're talking about doing with Randyland, look out. Randy, am I right?
You are 100%.
Yeah. He's a star. People know it.
100% correct, my friend. Yeah. It is very highbrow operation.
Yeah, highbrow. Like
Randyland. No, really.
It's so many things. It's highbrow and lowbrow.
I guess I just don't understand Randyland.
No,
I'm ashamed to say.
Kind of what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of thought of it as it started as a knockoff version of Candyland, the game.
Uh-huh.
You're saying it's grown into something completely different.
Oh, yeah. It's in a lot of ways, it's a state of mind. It is a lot of things. It's very, very, it's just very exciting to be a part of the ground floor.
Okay. All right. Plugs?
Great shows coming up. Check out GregWarrenComedy.com, TimConveyStuff.com. tonight, I can say, New Year's Eve in Indianapolis, if you're around and still looking for something to do, as this comes out, go see Greg and Sean.
Yeah, buddy. We're not here right now. We're there.
Yep, you're there. Syracuse Funny Bone, January 10th and 11th, you can see Greg. Springfield at the Blue Room, January 17th and 18th, you can see Greg. And then Sean, myself, St. Charles Funny Bone in the St. Louis area. Streets of St. Charles Funny Bone, January 16th.
Mean streets.
The mean streets.
Tough streets of no name.
January 16th through 19th, we're going to be there. Kevin Bowers will be there. He'll be doing the music thing, doing the stand-up show. Greg is going to join us on Sunday the 19th. So get tickets. Tickets are on sale for that right now. stlewisfunnybone.com.
Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you so much for helping us launch this podcast in 2024. We really, really appreciate all of you. My name is Greg Warren. This is Sean O'Brien. This is Tim Convy. You have the right to charge
your phone. Go Bills.
Help me run.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.